Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So many on the coasts are heading to the beaches this 4th of July weekend. You want to relax, go for a swim. Oh, knock it off. You have a better chance of being killed by a bee and a better chance of seeing a shark on the Discovery Channel's 28th annual Shark Week, which we're in the middle of. So how's it going? NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has been watching. Hi, Eric.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going just fine. Except is it? You know, how is Shark Week going? You know, how? What do you think about it?
I'm here in Florida. I'm here in the home of sharks in some ways. And things are just fine, you know.
Yes.
As fun as Shark Week can be, and some people have even called it sort of another national holiday because they've been doing this for so long, it does hype up people's fears of sharks and their fears of being attacked, harmed, and even killed by them in a way that's just not realistic. There are some cool moments and a lot of really interesting information and even some promotion of conservation that happens, but it's right alongside, you know, I mean, the titles, you know, nuclear sharks, you know, shark bait, you know, it's air jaws, you know, there's so many references to Jaws and to the specter of the killer shark. There's one about, you know, is a shark a serial killer? You know,
to that point,
those are the things you have to take with a grain of salt.
To that point, a reviewer in Wired magazine is the one who said you're far more likely to be killed by bees, cars, sugar, fire, too much sunshine, pork, booze, or falling down a stair. Except that they are sensational animals. So here we've got a clip from this past Sunday's The Return of the Monster Mako. Let's listen.
When the moon hangs full, it's prime feeding time. And there's one predator out there that has eyes the size of saucers and teeth that will tear flesh from bone.
Okay, except that it's not likely to do that most of the time. You were saying before we started formally talking, Eric, that some researchers who were interviewed by Shark Week years ago, actually what they said was kind of changed somehow when it got on the air. You explain.
Well, there's been allegations that the producers of one Shark Week documentary in particular, the Voodoo Sharks, that they talked to researchers and led them to believe that they were doing a more conventional documentary. And then when it came out, they made it look like the researchers they talked to were trying to track down, you know, some ancient, you know, crazy, mythical shark that they really weren't chasing. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a point with Shark Week where the hype and the craziness of it reached kind of a peak. And this is when they were doing these fake documentaries about prehistoric sharks and making them seem like they, you know, were still existed. Megalodon is the most well-known one of those.
Well, actually, hold that thought because we have a clip from Megalodon. This is the mockumentary. In other words, there is no such thing. They're extinct, but let's listen.
Today, the consensus amongst the scientific community is that Megalodon is no longer alive, that it went extinct over 2 million years ago. However, detailed accounts of sightings suggest otherwise.
What? You mean they could exist? So they're not airing that. Yeah, they're not airing that anymore, right?
Right. They decided, the head of Discovery Networks made a pledge a couple of years ago that they were going to roll back some of this stuff. So they did pull that mockumentary they're not airing as part of Shark Week, which actually infuriated some fans of Shark Week who really like those over-the-top documentaries. But the problem is that supposedly one of the points of Shark Week is to encourage conservation and get people involved in the efforts to save sharks. But when you have a week-long celebration and it ends on Sunday, that is focused so much on the dangers of these animals, you have to wonder how much that's helping conservation because people may want to see something dangerous, you know, sort of pass away or pass out of the ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, we're all aware that there are increased shark sightings where we are along the East Coast because of warmer waters and seal movement, but that still doesn't amount to, you know, the fear that people have of sharks.
Well, that's why I think it's more important than ever that Shark Week get back to basics and sort of give people actual information. Because it's not as if the risk is non-existent. And there are things that people can do to lessen their chances of coming in contact with them or being attacked by them. And I like to see that kind of stuff and maybe a little less of the sensationalism.
Or you can watch Shark Week through the fingers over your eyes.
Now, there is, if you want, there is a great show called Shark Sanity, right?
Okay.
That airs on Saturday that gives you the best of the Shark Week programming for the week before. And there's something airing on Friday night called Blue Serengeti that talks about, you know, a very fertile area in California that has a lot of sharks. And it's been compared to the area in Africa in terms of how the sharks hunt and the fact that there's so much going on there with predator and prey.
I thought you were going to say it's about sharks in the Serengeti of Africa. No, no.
It's about an ancient prehistoric shark that has somehow managed to come out on land. No, thank God.
NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thanks, and happy 4th.
Same to you.